If you have your Bible, turn with us tonight to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We do appreciate the Lord, His goodness and His mercy that endures forever. Amen. All that He does for us. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. The Bible said, "When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him," not like this, "loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." I want to preach just a little while tonight, if God will be my help, on this thought: a paid vacation, but something's missing. Amen? A paid vacation, but something's missing. As I look at this tonight, we see this fellow, and he comes running to the Lord, and the Bible says when he was gone forth in the way, and we know that way was the way to Jerusalem. It wasn't only way to Jerusalem, but it was on the way through the Kidron Valley and through Gethsemane to a place of the skull, which is called Golgotha. Jesus was on his way to the cross of Calvary. He was on his way to die for the sins of the world, for your sins and my sins. Jesus was on his way to die for us. And on the way, this rich young ruler, he comes running to Jesus. And the Bible said he come running and he kneels down and he asks him, he says, "Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" He said, "What can I do to get a hold of it? What can I do?" See, he started out, the problem he had was eye problems. Most of our problems are eye problems. We want to know what we can do to get better things. We want to know what to do to have a better life. We want to know what we can do to be encouraged within ourselves. What we can do. And he says, "Good master," he said, "what?" He said, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So he's asking the question. He says, "What? I want to know what I can do so that I can inherit eternal life." Now he's looking for an inheritance. Now, most of us think, well, in order to get an inheritance, you probably need to at least try to be a likable person. Amen? Right? I'm just being honest. If you're looking at getting an inheritance, getting a handout, if you will, when mom or daddy or mama or papa died, amen, you ought to at least pretend like you like them while they're here. Amen? You can't, if you treat people really bad, when they go out of here, you can't expect them to treat you really good. I mean, that's just common sense. Amen. If you want to get something, you got to, what are you saying? I said, if you want to get something, you got at least got to put a little bit into it. And this fellow said, he said, "Lord," he said, good master. He said, "What can I do to get my part of the inheritance that I might inherit eternal life?" That I might live forever. I think everybody would like to live forever. Amen. Everybody wants, like an old saying, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. We are tuned and designed to try to live, to persevere, to keep pressing on. Amen. But he says, "What can I do?" And Jesus looks in between big men and says, "Why callest thou me good?" He said, "Why do you call me good?" He said, what do you, he said, in other words, he said, "What do you know? What are you trying to say about me?" He says, "There is none good but one, and that is God." You know what the rich young youth, if he was really honest and sincere about inheriting the kingdom of heaven, he said, "Praise God, you are the Son of God." Amen. You're the one that came to take away the sins of the world, like John said over there in the Jordan. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Amen. Jesus said, why do you call me good? You really think of me as good? You really think of me as God? See, a lot of times I think we got an idea and a perspective of and we say it. I've heard people say something. He said, the man upstairs. Huh? I want to say, he's not the man upstairs. He's God Almighty. Amen. He's the great God of glory. Amen. But we ought to show him the respect that's due. Because he is God. And Jesus looked at this rich young ruler, and he said, who do you think I am? He said, there's only one good. And he said, that's God. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, why callest thou me good? And then he goes on and he questions him. And he says, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. Amen? So he gives them these 10 commandments. Now these are 5 commandments that's toward our fellow man. Amen? They some of these commandments that is towards our fellow man. Amen? And he asks us, he said, knowest the commandments? And this fellow answered and said unto him, know what he said? He said, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. So I got to think, I was sitting there this morning in the study and I got to thinking about this. This man was rich and he was young and he was a ruler. Wouldn't that be the desire of all of our hearts? Amen? I mean, what more could you ask? He was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. But now we see, he said, all these I have kept from my youth. So not only was he rich, and he was young, and he was a ruler, but he was religious. Amen? He was a religious man. He knew the commandments. Amen? And the Bible said, and Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Now, I can just see in my mind's eye, Jesus knew. Amen? Now get this, Jesus knew. You say, well, preacher, he said all these 5 commandments toward mankind, everything that needs to be done, in other words, to love thy neighbor as thyself, he said, I've done that. Is it possible? It's possible. Is it probable? It's not probable. It was possible, but it wasn't probable. Amen? He said he was rich, he was young, he was a ruler, and he was religious. But I will say religion will send you straight to hell, lost without God. Amen. What we need is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing, realizing his deity. Amen. See, what he wanted him to see, he wanted to see him as God Almighty. Amen. Amen. He said, if you want to inherit eternal life, praise God, you've got to turn to God. So we see these commandments towards his fellow man. Now we can see here, verse 20 said he practiced the golden rule. He said, I've done all these things. Amen. Honoring my brother, loving thy neighbor. He said, I've performed this. But Jesus said, well, said, and he looked at him with love in his heart, didn't rebuke him. He should have said, no, you stinking liar, you have not. But he didn't. But you know why he didn't? Because Jesus looked in at him and he loved him. Because he realized and said, I've done these things. I've tried to a rich young ruler tried to be religious, but there's something missing. Amen. He said, even though I've tried to do it, there's something immense. He said, there's an emptiness in me. Even though I've tried to do right, what I think I know to do, but he said there's still an empty place that needs to be filled. There's still something in me that needs to be satisfied. I want to say today, most people sitting in their fundamental Bible-believing churches today have an empty place. Amen. That needs to be satisfied. Amen. Praise God, there's something missing. This young fellow seen that there was something missing. There was an emptiness that he could not feel. Amen. Being rich wouldn't feel it. Being young wouldn't feel it. Being a ruler wouldn't feel it. Being religious wouldn't feel it. There was still something missing. I'm afraid in our church's day, in our family's day, let me just bring that in my life today, if we ain't careful, there's something missing. There's an emptiness down at the house of God. Amen? There's an emptiness. So what is that emptiness? It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in the Lord Jesus. That's what fills that emptiness. Amen. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, it fills the emptiness. Amen. Amen. It occupies the void, if you will. Amen. It gives you a sense of fullness, praise God. And every now and then you can feel it running over. Amen. But this rich young ruler, praise God, a religious fellow, he was empty. Something was missing. In John chapter 3, he talks about that. He said, those that believe in him are not condemned. John chapter 3, verse 18 said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. There's a big empty void in those that don't believe. Amen? An emptiness. He said, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So what he said, the rich young ruler comes in and he says, you know what? He said, there's something missing here. There's something that I'm missing. There's something I can't go. There's an emptiness, and that emptiness was faith in the very one he was talking to. If we ain't careful, we'll be without faith, even of the very one, brother, that we're talking to when we pray. We'll go through our rehearsed prayers. We'll say the things we think we ought to say, but there's an emptiness because there's not a connection with the one that we're talking to. If he only knew who he's talking to, they would have filled that emptiness. Amen? Amen? If just being good would have been good enough, it would have filled that emptiness. But I want to say, you can't be good enough to fill that emptiness. That void is going to be there no matter how good you are. And at Titus chapter 3, in verse 3, the Bible says there's an emptiness in us when we don't have the Lord. Titus 3 and 3 says this, said, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. I want to say this evening, I hope to God there's nobody sitting in the sound of my voice this evening that is in this condition. Did you hear what I said? I hope there's no one sitting under my voice tonight, under the Word of God, that is in this condition. Because he said, we ourselves also were sometime. But I want to say, if you've been born again by the marvelous regenerating power of Lord Jesus Christ, you're no longer in this condition. Amen. He said, but after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Well, glory. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen? That mercy seat, that's being placed on the mercy seat. That mercy, that's been brought and covered by blood sacrifice. Amen. He said, when you're covered by blood sacrifice, praise God, he said, you're no longer there. He said, that's something missing's taken out away and you've been made complete. Amen. Been absolutely made complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Said his mercy that he saved us, washed us, the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Covered by the blood, he said, he shed on us abundantly without sparing. Amen. In other words, he said, brother, it was sufficient to cover our sins, praise God, past, present, and future forevermore. Bless his holy name. Amen. He said, we have something We can't be good enough within ourselves. Our works are never be good enough. Amen? They'll never be good enough to get us in. But praise God, there's a loving Savior that paid the price on Calvary. Shed His blood across the mercy seat of the glory of God. Amen, that we might be redeemed, washed, and made clean. Amen, we can't be good enough now. We can't do enough good works. And we can't do enough good deeds. Amen, we can't be good enough. Look at Luke chapter 18. Remember the parable here of the Pharisees and the publican? In Luke chapter 18, verse 9, the Bible said, He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. I want to say that's an oxymoron. That don't even fit together. Amen? Do you hear me? You cannot be righteous and despise others. Because Titus just told us, praise God, that's how you used to be. But he said, when you get born again, regenerated by the regenerating power of the Holy Ghost of God, amen, He makes you a new creation in Christ Jesus. He puts a new love in our hearts that it might be shed abroad. Amen. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. I want to say there's a whole lot of people today in the world that's trusting in themselves. They stand up and they trusting in themselves. I want to just trust in the Lord. Amen. He said, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now you get this picture. One's a Pharisee, the other's a publican, a tax collector, if you will. Amen. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And he says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. Have you ever noticed? It just kills me when people get up and they begin to pray and they begin to tell God how good they are. It amazes me when somebody says, well, Lord God, I've been so good and I've been doing, and God knows how we are. We don't have to tell God how good we've been. Because He knows how good we've been and He knows how bad we've been. Amen. The only time we'll do it is say, Lord, forgive me a sinner. Amen. But he tried to stand up within himself and he tried to proclaim to God how good he was. That don't work. He said, I think that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. He said, I fast twice in a week and I give tithes of all that I possess. Never once gave God the glory for nothing. It amazes me how we can stand and say, well, you know, this and that and I, but never give God the glory for it all. I want to say, to God belongs all the glory. Amen. Amen. But then the Bible says that this publican, he said, and the publican, standing afar off. I mean, he wasn't up there in front of the crowd with the big old phylacteries and everything blowed up and the bells on the bottom of his robe so that everybody hear him and see him coming. Stand up in front of everybody to make a big old a prayer about how good he was. And how God ought to recognize it. But the Bible says this publican stands afar off, stands over in a corner somewhere, maybe in the shadows. And he says this, standing afar off, would not even lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast and said, and saying, now watch this, seven words. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. Glory be to God. He said, God, amen. Recognize the deity of glory, amen, because He is God Almighty. And He takes sin, He takes and goes to that mercy seat that I told you about in Titus where the blood's applied, and He says, have mercy on me, a sinner. He said, apply the blood to my life. Cleanse me and make me whole. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless you. I'm going to say that Pharisee had something missing. I'm afraid there's a whole lot of folks that have something missing from their lives. Amen. But Jesus says, I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. Praise the Lord. We come humbly before God and recognize that He is God, and besides Him there is no other. Then God begins to bless us and help us and encourage us all the way. Praise God. It's not of righteousness that we should boast. Come on, but praise God, it's the righteousness of God that makes us who we are. It's God Almighty that gives us the power. Amen. He gives us that something that's missing in every one of our lives. Isaiah says it best in Isaiah chapter 64. In Isaiah 64, in verse 6, He tells us how we are and who He'd have us to be. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, He said, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquity like the wind hath taken us away. He said, we've been carried away by our own sinfulness, our own lust, our own desires. And He said, and there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Amen. Isaiah says, hey, you know what's happened, church? He said, there's something missing in the local assembly. But Isaiah goes on in verse 8, 64 and 8. He says, but now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou our potter. And we all are the work of Thy hand. Amen. Praise God. When we realize there's something missing and that we're just the clay in a potter's hand and we let Him mold us and make us, praise God, He fills in the missing part. Amen. There's something missing. Amen. But you said, preacher, what about the paid vacation? Look up in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 64 and verse 4. For it said, for since the beginning of the world men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides Thee, what He hath prepared for them that waiteth for Him. He said, there's a paid vacation, praise God, for everyone, glory be to God, that finds that something that's missing in their lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. God begins to do a mighty work in His people, praise God, that allows through duration of time and eternity. Amen. It puts us on a different playing field. Amen. We're no longer chasing after something, praise God. We've attained to something bigger than we are. Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad of that? Amen. So what we have back in Mark 10, this rich young ruler, he was looking for that missing part. He was trying to find that part. But God says, you know what? He said, I've got a paid vacation for you. But He said, there's something missing. In verse 21, Jesus said that Jesus, behold, Him loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. That part that was missing. See, I'm afraid for a whole lot of people in the world today, there's a little part of missing. Oh, we may be rich, we may be young, we may be a ruler, may be religious, but we've got to have the missing part, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. He says, go thy way. Now this young, rich young ruler comes running to Jesus. He's a busy man. He was taking care of businesses. He was trying to make money. He was trying to be profitable. That's honorable. That's a good thing. Amen. Take a talent and earn 2, earn 10, earn 20 for the glory of God. Amen? For the glory of God.
Amen.
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 As long as we do it for the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. That we might magnify and give Him all the praise for His blessings on us. That paid vacation, praise God, that He gives us on purpose. He says, go thy way. Amen. Go about your busy self. He said, sell whatsoever thou hast, give it to the poor. Jesus said, okay, you believe. You say you're a believer. He said, you've kept the commandments. Amen. He said, what about having no other God before thee? Amen. He said, what? He said, the problem is right now, said, you've got another God. Amen. He said, this God that you have is ruling your life. And said, in order to get the part that's missing, to not be so empty, He said, you've got to fill the void. He said, now you've tried being rich, you've tried being young, you've tried being a ruler, you've tried being religious. But He said, now let's try it my way. Amen. He said, now let's do it my way. He says, go out and He said, sell all you have. Does God want him to spend eternity in poverty? No. God wanted him to realize, praise God, there was somebody in this world besides him. Amen. He said to love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. He said, if you want the missing part, praise God, show me the love of God by loving your neighbor. He said, take what you got. He said, sell it and give it to the poor. Amen. He said, take what you've got. And begin to distribute those that need, that are needy. Amen. That's the love of God. Charity begins at home. Charity, love in action, praise God. It covers a whole lot of the iniquities in our life. And it takes us away from our own selfishness. Amen. He says, give to the poor and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Amen. He said, what you're taking here, he said, rust and moths will destroy it. But praise God, you can lay up treasure in heaven where neither moth or rust will not corrupt.
Amen.
He said, what I want to offer you here, I want to fill in the missing part, so I want to give you a paid vacation. Amen. He said, give the poor and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. He said, and come. He says, come to me, follow me. Be led of me. He said, take up the cross and follow me. And he said, just come to me. Look to me, trust me, rely on me, adhere to me, follow me. Amen. And he said, I'll take care of you. So here's where the paid vacation comes in. Jesus said, I'll lay up treasure in heaven. He said, the rest of your natural life, praise God, I'll begin to lay up treasures in glory for you. Amen. I'll begin to take away, I'll begin to relieve you of all those financial worries that you have. Amen. The things that bog us down in this world, worrying, you know, about where we're going to get this, and what we're going to do about this, and, you know, all those things that we worry about. Amen. He said, I'll take away all those anxieties, all that, owning and taking care, keeping up properties. You say, did God want him to get rid of all that? No, God wanted him to make it second and third and fourth his life and make God first and people second.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He said, I will give you a paid vacation for the rest of your life.
Amen.
He said, what I want you to do, Brother Andrew, he said, I want you to just trust in me with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength.
Amen.
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 Don't lean upon your own understanding. Even when you don't understand it, just trust me.
Amen.
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 Just trust me. And he said, I'll take care of all of this anxiety you have, all the burdens, all the sorrow, all the financial responsibility. The Lord says, I'll take care of that. He said, I'll give you a paid vacation. He said, when you get that piece that's missing, when you fill up that emptiness, he said, what comes with it? He said, it's a paid vacation. He said, so all the days of your life, praise God, he said, what you do? He said, you cast your cares upon me. Because I care for you. And he said, I'll take care of everything else. I know God does. God's still in a miracle work. God, hey, listen, youngins, God still loves us and He'll take care of us. Amen. I don't know how many times, you can ask my wife, I don't know how many times it's been that went down to the mailbox and done got a dun from this one or that one or somewhere else and opened it up unexpectedly and said, you know, well, wow, where'd that come from? Never expected that. But I always take it up and I lay it down and say, Lord, God, you know what the need is. And I know, Lord God, you know what? He's never failed to meet that need. Amen. He's never failed to meet that need. I've always had food on my table. I've always had clothes on my back. I've had a roof over my head. Amen. I've never wanted for nothing. Amen. God's always come through. He said, why? He said, rich young ruler. He said, hey, listen. He said, if you'll just put your trust in me, he said, I'll give you a paid vacation through eternity. Praise the Lord. And he said, I'll fill in that void. And they said, there won't be no more emptiness. Amen. But the sad part of it was, the Bible says that this fellow went away sad because he had great possessions. I want to say, praise God, he missed the greatest possession ever was, his possession, Lord Jesus Christ, as his Lord and Savior. That's the most magnificent possession that we can ever have. If we finished this life, finished our course as paupers living under a bridge, praise God, and we had Lord Jesus Christ, we would go out of here rich in the glory. Amen. But he told this fellow, he said, I'll give you a paid vacation. He said, there's something missing. He said, you get that part that's missing took care of? He said, you'll have a paid vacation the rest of your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, you won't have to worry about this stuff. He said, I'll take care of it. Amen. You know what's wrong with us? We worry and we fret over this and over that, praise God, and stood putting hands and realizing, praise God, it's all His anyway. Amen? It's all His anyway. He owns it. Amen. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and He owns the hills they roam on. Amen. And praise God, when we realize that He is God and He's all that we need, and when we put our faith and trust, He said, I'll not see the righteous forsaken or see the begging bread. Amen. I want to ask you a question. Do you think God can renege on that? Huh? Do you think the righteous, that you can see the righteous out here begging for a morsel of bread to eat? I don't believe that, not for one second. I believe God's going to take care of His own because He promised He would. Amen. Amen. He said, I'll give you a, he said, hey, you get that something missing out of your life. Hey, you said you get that fixed, but this thing goes on. And he says, boy, that rich young ruler, he went away sad because he had great possessions. And Jesus said, how hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of God? Exclamation mark. Hey, he says, how can a rich man enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples are like, whoa, wait a minute. If a rich man can't get in, who can get in? Because they thought a rich man, thought he was rich because God was blessing him. And he's receiving blessings. But we can never accept the greatest blessing that was ever given, which is Christ Jesus our Savior, when we're consumed by the things of this world. Amen? We can't do it. It won't work. Because of the love of money. First Timothy, he says, because of the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen? Because we love something of this world so much that we put it before our God. And that fellow went away sad. And you know the sad part about it? The Bible never did show where he ever got saved, where he ever turned that stuff over to the Lord and said, God, I'm yours. Amen? He said, how hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom? He said, it'd be easier for a camel to pass through an eye of a needle for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. God, hell. Amen? I'm talking about threading a camel through an eye of a needle. He said, it'd be easier than somebody that's rich. Enter into heaven. Say, preacher, you mean tell us we ain't supposed to have no money? I didn't say that. There ain't a thing wrong with money just as long as we don't love it more than we love God. Amen. But we have to get things in perspective. Amen. We have to fill in that empty space because there's something missing in our lives. And what's missing in most of our lives is the Lord Jesus Christ. He needs to be preeminent in everything that we do and everything we say, everything that we are to the very fiber of our being in order to be the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to say this, and I'm done. We've had families. Our families have come up, they've grown up, they've went out, they've moved on, and I'm afraid to say that they haven't seen the love of God like they should have seen it. And they've become hardened towards God and godliness, and even towards God's people, because we haven't we haven't loved the Lord Jesus Christ supremely like we should. And our people, they know us. They know who we are. And they're the hardest people in the world to win. But we need to ask God to give us a godliness to fill in that missing place. Amen. The missing place. We need to fill that up. Something that's missing. Amen. It needs to be filled. The emptiness needs to be gone. And we need to ask God. We need to beg God to give us that, to give us that relationship with Him. That close godliness, the righteousness of God. Because ours is filthy rags. But praise God, His is right. See, I'm afraid we try to run on our righteousness too much. On us being good enough, you know, but we can't. We have to trust in the righteousness of a holy God. Amen. So that our righteousness can be pleasing to Him, and that it might be even reach out to such old sinners that need a Savior. Amen.